Now, today, we gotta talk, okay? We gotta talk today, y'all. We gotta talk today. So, I'm gonna be as frank as I can, you know, about some things about God, all right? So, if you have your Bibles, open them to Psalms 73. Now, I was supposed to preach this last week. But the Lord would not allow me to preach it last week because the electric was off in the whole church. Isn't that something? You know, the electric was off, and I couldn't in good conscience have y'all sitting up in here with no lights and no heat and no air conditioner, and we sitting up here sweating and But I said we're gonna talk about what it means to worship God anyway. This morning. So we're going to be frank about some things. And as we are going through this together, I want us all to do some soul searching, all right? Do some soul searching as we look at Psalm 73. This is a series entitled Lessons from the Wisdom Psalms. See, some of the psalms are what we call teaching psalms. They're not prayers. They're not praising God. They're trying to teach us something. And here's the title of what I've given to Psalm 73. Do you see it up there? Here's the title. Is God really good? Yes or no, saints? Yes. All right, now I want you to repeat after me this next one that you see up here. I want you to repeat after me. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. That's one of my favorite phrases. That's one of my favorite phrases. God is good. And I know some of you, sometimes you think God ain't good. But I want you to know before this time, the sermon is over, that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And I want us to believe it, even when it looks like the devil and all of his angels ganged up on you. Amen. Now, Psalm 73 is a wisdom psalm. And if you look at it, you notice it says a psalm of Asaph. Y'all see that in your Bibles, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the leaders of the temple choir. So Asaph, when I think of Asaph, I think of our brother Metcalf here, brother Tony, because you see, what Tony does is he comes up here with his singing group, and the goal is to lead us into worship, right? Did they lead y'all into worship this morning? Did you worship? And see, that's what Asaph did. He was leading with his choir, leading the folk that came to the temple into the worship of God. But Brother Tony, Asaph has a problem. See, he's leading like you are. He's leading the saints into worship. But there is a paradox that he's going to help us deal with. Now, this is the choir leader helping us deal with a paradox in life. And it's a question that people keep on asking. It's a question, I know people have asked you this. You probably asked the question yourself, and here's the question. How can an infinitely powerful God be good? Didn't we just say God is good all the time? And all the time God is good? How can an infinitely powerful God be good and yet allow wicked people to get away with their wicked stuff? How can he be good and let that happen? And I know you've heard people, God is so good. And then they give you some excuse. And how come this? And how come that? And in his words, if God is so good like you claim, then how come people who love God, don't y'all love God this morning? Amen. How come people who love God go through a lot of struggles in their life? How come there's a lot of stuff always happening to us? And it seems like the more I love the Lord, the worse things get. And so it's a paradox. and we're looking at life just like everybody else, and here's what you see. It seems that those who don't need God, they seem to be doing just fine in their life. Folk who don't go to church like you guys up in here this morning, they don't darken the doors of a church, and yet their life is just fine. And those of us who do go to church, when church is over, we go home to a mess of problems, and you're asking God why. So Aesop, the choir director, our Tony Metcalf, he is going to help us deal with this issue so that we can learn to be faithful to God and worship God rightly. Because here's my lesson. You know, we just said God is good, right? All the time, and all the time, God is good, right? And how you believe that, if you look at that right, that's going to determine how faithful you are to the Lord. How you look at the goodness of God, my friend, that's going to determine how faithful you are. Not how faithful I am, because you don't be talking about somebody else. Look at yourself. That's going to determine how faithful you are to the Lord. How you look at the goodness of God. Now, Aesop is going to help us look at the goodness of God from two perspectives. He's going to help us look at the goodness of God from two perspectives. We're gonna look at the goodness of God from an ungodly or a godless perspective. A godless perspective. And then we're gonna look at the goodness of God from a godly perspective. Two perspectives. And remember, whichever one you take, and you're not gonna say it out in public in church, it's gonna be in your heart. Whichever one you take, that's going to determine how faithful you are to the Lord. So let's look at that first perspective, all right? And if you have your Bibles, follow right along with me in Psalms 73. We're going to look at the goodness of God, first of all, from a godless perspective. And here is the theological problem. I call this a theological problem that a lot of people are asking. If God is good, why does it seem like the wicked get away with their wicked deeds? And y'all do know that the wicked get away with their wicked deeds. Y'all do know that, right? Y'all do know that wicked people have everything that you got and then more so, right? Wicked folk have a better house than you have. Wicked folk drive a better car than you drive. Wicked folk make more money than you make. And you think, and some of you think, yeah, but they're not happy. Oh yeah, tell them that. Go up to one and say, you ain't happy. They'll roll their eyes at you and say, I don't know where you come from. I got everything I need in life and I'm good. You the one that's pitiful and you go to church. And you know what, y'all? Some of us who do go to church, we do act pitiful. We look pitiful. We walk around pitiful. And then turn around and come up in church and say, God is good. We don't act like God is good. Now, this perspective, this problem, has three things that they're looking at. The wicked people are looking at three things. They're looking at three, I call them three evidences that they're looking at. So let's look at the first evidence. This starts with verse 4. I'm going to come back to verses 1, 2, and 3 in a moment, but I'm going to start with verse 4. Evidence number one, it seems, the reason why I'm asking this question, because it seems that the wicked live good lives without God. Y'all know they do. Let me read some of this. Look at verse 4. For there are no pangs in their debt. I mean, they die a good day. They just go to sleep. They go to bed and don't wake up. Y'all understand? Somebody, is that how you want to go? Somebody probably saying, I wonder how I want to leave this life. You know, I don't want to go. I don't want to get burnt up in fire. I don't want to drown. I don't want nobody to stab me in the neck. I don't want nobody to shoot me. Now, that's not the way I want to go. I just want to lay down in my bed and go to sleep and wake up in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that what you want? I know some of you are saying, no, that's not what I want, Brother Smith. I want to go out in glory. I want to be on the battlefield facing the enemy with a hail of bullets. No, you don't. What are you telling me? Wicked people die good death. They die quietly in their sleep. They don't have no pain. Their strength is firm. You know what? You think if you sitting here thinking wicked people die young, think again. There's some wicked folk around here that live to be 90 and 100 years old and don't love Jesus. Tell me I'm lying. Somebody please tell me, Brother Smith, you lying. Because you know I'm telling the truth. And you know the Bible tells. See, the Bible knows what you're thinking. They are not in trouble as other men. How many of y'all are in trouble today? How many of you got trouble in your life? What? Y'all all doing all right? Praise God. They don't have trouble with their mortgage. They don't have trouble on their job. They don't have trouble with their appliances. You know, their life is just sweet. And I'm talking about folk that don't know the Lord. They are not plagued like other men. So it seems that people that don't know the Lord, it seems like they have good health, a long life, and a painless death. And here I am, I love the Lord, and it looks like all I got in my life is trouble, and I'm asking, and I'm going to the Lord asking, why, Lord, why? As if God owes you something. Then the wicked seem to be successful. Look at verse 6 and 7. Therefore, pride serves them as a necklace. I mean, when you're doing good, there's a certain walk that you have, you know, around town. You know, you just, you know, life is good. You show it. Yeah, you do. You show it. And so they said they walk around bragging about how good life is to them. Violence covers them like a garment. They don't mind hurting people because as far as they're concerned, they're going to get away with it. But what you going to do about it? Their eyes bulge with abundance, verse 7. They have more than their heart could wish. They have more than they. What would you do if the Lord let you have everything that you could ever want? What would you do? Would you be happy? Would you be stingy? Would you be compassionate? Would you be kind? Now, the reason why you're saying yes, because you don't have it. So it's easy to say yes when you don't have it. And look at verses 8 and 9. Look at how disrespectful they are. Look how they talk. Verse 8, they scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Here's what that means. Yeah, I did it. And I'm going to do it again. And what you going to do about it? That is their attitude. Y'all ever run up against people like that? That just come right out I'm not ashamed of what I did. I did it today and I'm going to do it tomorrow too. And don't care if you don't like it. That is the attitude. Don't that irk you? Makes you want to grab them by the throat, don't it? They scoff, verse 8, and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. And here's what makes it worse. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks. See, they got a big mouth. They got a boastful mouth. And to such an extent that they have the nerve to even be smart against the things of God. I don't know about you. You church folk, I don't know why y'all going to church for it. It don't do you no good. But I don't go to church. And I got everything I need in life. And, you know, I got all the money I want. I got all the cars I can drive. I got all the women I want. You know, here y'all are going to church begging God for a blessing. Well, you're not blessed. I'm blessed. And they talk that to you. And it upsets you. And long does it upset you, you go to God and you say, Lord, you know, I worship you, I tithe, I give, I serve in the church, and I don't, it seems like it's not getting me anywhere. And these wicked rascals out here, they seem to have more than they could ever want. And they get in my face about it. And verses 10 and 11 and 12, this is the second thing that they're looking at. The first thing that they look at is that the wicked, they live good lives without God. But here's the second thing that makes people ask that question. It seems like the wicked, they get pat on the back. Everybody approves of them for the way that they're living. Look at what verse 10 says. Therefore, his people, that's the people of the wicked, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. Let me explain to you a little bit what that means. Wicked people have a lot of followers. People that don't love the Lord, they have a lot of people following them and patting them on the back, saying, man, you cool, you good, that's good. I want to be like you. They're not patting you on the back, trying to stab you in the back, but they're not going to pat you on the back. They talk about you like a dog because you say you're going to go to the house of worship and worship the Lord, and then they smirk, good luck with that. I know people said it to you. So they have a lot of people following them, patting them on the back for the way that they live. And look at verse 11. And they say, how does God know? I mean, God don't know what I'm doing. And not only does he not know what I'm doing, I don't even think he cares. And since he don't care, I think I'll just get away with the way I'm living if y'all don't mind. Y'all see the point here? Y'all see this? And there's one more thing about these guys, about why people ask that question. If God is so good, why does it seem like he's allowing wicked people to get away with their stuff? Look at verses 13 and 14. They get in your face, and then you go to God and you think about this. Look at verse 14. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. You look at what's going on around you and you say to yourself, you know, I think I'm wasting my time coming to church, confessing my sins before God and getting right with God. I mean, I know there's sin in my life. I went before God, I confessed my sins, and after I confessed my sins, nothing in my life got better. Back verse 14, all day long I have been plagued and pacing every morning. And so if that's what I got to look forward to, does it really pay to serve the Lord? And that's what I'm asking y'all. Does it pay to serve the Lord? Now, if you go that route, the thinking of the godless, if that's your perspective, guess what? Here's what you will say. You'll say, number one, God ain't good. Number two, God don't care. Number three, God ain't faithful. Number four, I'm on my own. And it is possible for some of you to be sitting in here right now, and that is what is going through your mind. You're saying, I'm on my own. God is not really good. I've got to do this on my own. If I'm going to be successful, I got to make myself successful. If I'm going to get what needs to be got, I got to get it myself, and I can't depend on God. He takes too long anyway. Is that the way you're thinking? Let's Hope Bible Church. Are you thinking like that this morning? Is that your view of God? That he is off somewhere playing golf, and you are all alone dealing with the issues and problems of life? And if that's the way you think, no wonder you don't go to church. No wonder you in and out of church. No wonder you're not faithful. No wonder you won't go to Bible study. No wonder you won't pray. No wonder you won't tell nobody about Jesus. No wonder you won't support the work of the Lord. No wonder you won't be faithful. And the reason why you won't be faithful is because you don't believe that God is faithful. and is a telltale sign, it will show up in the way you live, in the way you act. You'll sit there and say, I love the Lord, brothers. Man, no, you don't, because you won't act like you love him. And the reason why you don't act like he loves you, because you don't think he loves you. You don't believe. And you will act like you don't believe. But let me share something with you. This is, we're going to go to the next thing, the godly perspective. See, that's the conclusion. That's a terrible conclusion. I hope none of you are thinking like that. I hope none of you are thinking like that. Because that's going to mess with your mind and mess with your heart and mess with your life. But here's the second perspective I want us to think about. This is the goodness of God from a godly perspective. God is goodness, isn't he? Didn't y'all just say God is good? All right, now notice how he starts this psalm in verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel. That's Aesop saying that. To such as are pure in heart. God is good to those who trust him. Let me say it again. God is good to those who trust him, to those who rely on him, to those who depend on him. God is good. Is God good? Yes. But the psalmist says, you know what? I almost messed up. I almost slipped because I became envious. I became envious of the boastful when I saw what other people are doing who don't go to church. Right now, there's some folk out there that they wash. It's a nice day out there. You know, they out there washing that car. They ain't in church. They out at Forest Park. You know, they at the zoo, and they at the, you know, they having fun today. It's a nice day out. I ain't wasting this day in somebody's church. But you know what? Your confidence in God has several bases to it. Let me share something with you. Number one, you're not speculating about God. Look at verses 15 and 16. The psalmist Aesop is saying, our Tony Metcalf is saying, you know what? If I sit up and thought about negative stuff about God, I'd be disrespectful and untrue to God's people. And by the way, you guys, I want y'all to know this. When you have negative thoughts about the Lord because of whatever you're going through, you hurt the spiritual walk of other people. Yeah, you do. Yet your negativity hurts other folk. How many of y'all been hurt by negative thinking and negative talking? But listen to this. Listen to this. I got to share this with you. Then he says, when I thought about all this, it was too painful for me. When I looked around life and I saw how people who didn't love the Lord are getting over, at least I thought they were getting over, and how it looks like those who love the Lord are not getting by, it was messing with my mind. It was messing with my heart. It was too painful for me. And then he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. That is, I went to church to worship God. I went to church. Now, I'm always telling people, y'all need to come to church. But why? Why are you here? Why did you bring your children to church this morning? Why did you come to church this morning? Did you come because you had nothing else better to do? Did you come because you thought maybe the church might do something for you? Did you come because you don't know why you're here? You just showed up hoping that something good would happen to you. You know, we tell folks to come. You know why? You know why? Because when you come to the house of the Lord, now listen to me, everybody. When you come to the house of the Lord, you get to see life from God's perspective. When you come, see, then it was painful for me. Then I came to the house of the Lord, and when I came to the house of the Lord, something happened to me. I began to look at life from God's viewpoint, not man's, but God's. And when I began to look at life from God's viewpoint, it gave me a sense of confidence. It gave me some boldness. It gave me strength. It gave me encouragement because I'm looking at it from God's side, not man's. Well, what am I looking at? You know what? First of all, when you come to church, we tell you what God is like. We tell you what God looks like. We tell you what God is like, his character, his attributes. We just got through singing a song that talked about some of the attributes of God, didn't we? We talked about his holiness, his righteousness, the fact that he is a healer and a savior. I mean, that song that we just sang reminded us of the kind of God that we serve. The only issue is, do you believe it? Because if you don't believe it, you just sang a song. That's like, you just sang a song. Anybody can sing a song. We are reminded of what God did for us. Do y'all know what God has done for you? We are reminded of his promises. Now look at some of this that's in this. Look at verse 21, because his confidence in God is going to be there no matter what kind of difficult times he has. It's personal. Now notice, this thing has to be personal, y'all. This thing has to be personal with you. All right, look at what he says. Look at what he says. I'm almost through. I got to show you this. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me with your right hand. Can you say that? Can you say God is with me and I am with God? And God's got me by the hand. And no matter what difficulties I am facing, no matter what I need in life, God's got me and he's going to care. Do you believe that? You're sitting in church now. You're sitting in church. And every last one of us in here, we got some kind of issue going on in our life. The issue is not the problem. The problem is, do you believe God? And do you believe his faithfulness? Who cares what the issue is? God's going to see you through that. And look at that. You guide me. Now, some of us are in some difficult situations. Some of us have some difficult decisions that we got to make. And we need God's wisdom. We need God to guide us. And when you come to the house of the Lord, you are reminded that God is guiding you and you can trust him. I don't care what you see out there in the streets. You guide me with your counsel. I can't let you go without saying this. And afterwards, you're going to receive me to glory. How many of you in here know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of y'all know that? You know that? You know that? I don't know about you, I'm going to be with Jesus. And since the Lord is going to receive me unto himself in glory, it don't matter what difficulties I face in this life. Well, Brother Smith, you sick, so... sickness is part of life. And no matter what the sickness does, I'm going to be with Jesus. Well, Brother Smith, you poor. So everybody else on this planet is poor too. What's that got to do with anything? When I'm with Jesus Christ, I'm going to be rich because I'm going to own everything that's in heaven. All that stuff up there is mine. Well, Brother Smith, everybody hates you. That ain't nothing new. There's always somebody hating. But you know what? When I'm with Jesus, there ain't gonna be no hating going on. Either from me or from anybody else. You see what that does? It changes your perspective of life. You know, we asked you to come to church. And some of you are in church because your mama brought you. You young people, let me just say something to young people that's there. We got our young people, they're having children church yesterday. Let me say about young people. You know, young kids, you come to church because your mama and your grandma made you. That's the only reason why you're up here. You didn't come because, oh, mama, get up. We got to go to church. You didn't do that. Your mama said, get up. And I told y'all before, my parents, they got me up just to get rid of us. We got 7 of us in my family. Get up and get out of here. They didn't go to church, but they sure did make us go because that was free time for them. Free time without 7 kids, have mercy. I can sleep, I can watch TV, I can have peace and quiet. And we went to church because our parents made us. Plus, I told y'all before, plus they had donuts and Kool-Aid. And I was going to get my share. But listen, here's what I know about young people. Young people, listen to this. You go to church because your mama made you. Your grandma made you. And then when you get 18, 20, you're going to stop going to church because you don't have to. Because there's nobody to make you go, and so you won't go. You stop. I'm telling you the truth. And you probably won't go again for the rest of your life. Unless the Lord is in your life. And when the Lord is in your life, you begin to see life from His perspective. And when you see it from His perspective, nobody will have to tell you to go to church. Nobody. You'll get up yourself and your mom will say, where you going? To church. Well, hallelujah. At least you're not going to be a thug. That's what my parents thought. You do it because you see it from... You see, if you don't understand how good God is, you won't be faithful. I'm telling you, y'all. If you don't understand how faithful, how good God... It's more than just saying it. It's more than just saying it. You got to believe it. It's got to be deep down inside of you. You got to know that I don't care if my house burns down to the ground. God is good. And the goodness of God is going to guide you and motivate you and stimulate you and encourage you and build you up to be a powerful force on earth. So now you're left with 2 decisions today. Is he or isn't he? Is God good or isn't he? And I don't mean just saying it because we're going to say it again. Is God good? Look at that slide up there. Repeat after me again. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And you got to be able to say that. Let's just say you and I see one of our young men that plays football. You got to be able to say that even if you lose every football game you play. I mean, you don't win one, you just lose them all. You got to, when you get in that gym and everybody's downhearted and they mad and they angry, you got to be able to say, God is good all the time. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You got to be able to say God is good when they won't let you have that position you want. You got to be able to say that God is good when your wife, have mercy, says, look, I'm leaving. And I'm leaving on a jet plane, and I'm leaving now. You got to be able to say God is good. I know y'all meant that. Y'all thought I meant that the wrong way, didn't you? You got to be able to say, God is good. Even if everybody abandons me, He's good. And I'm going to live for Him and serve Him and worship Him no matter what. That's what Tony, the music director, is guiding us to understand why we worship God. You see, when you worship God, what are you worshiping Him for? It means nothing unless you understand that God is good. And your belief on the goodness of God, that's going to determine how faithful you are. It's going to determine if you're going to be faithful. See, all that other stuff is just talk. This is real. This is life. And you begin your journey by trusting God
when he told you that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. It starts there, because the very fact that God provided salvation, that shows you that he's good, because he didn't have to provide you nothing. He don't owe you nothing. God don't owe you salvation. He don't owe you heaven. He could let you slide straight to hell and he would still be a good God. But he's wonderful. The fact that he allows you to hear the gospel. The fact that he allows you to hear about him and learn about him. That is grace in of itself. And he is inviting you to take him up on his promises. And you got to believe. You got to believe that he's good enough. That he's good. That I'll accept his provision of salvation in Christ. That begins your journey of faith. That begins your journey of experiencing the goodness of God. Maybe there's somebody in here who needs to experience the goodness of God, starting off by getting saved, by putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And you know what, y'all? I'm not going to beg. You know, some preachers, they don't close the church. They don't shut the worship down until somebody comes, at least one person comes forward. Y'all been in churches like that, haven't you? The organist will keep playing until somebody gets up. And then one of y'all said, look, I better get up or we're going to be here forever. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in doing that. Y'all know what Jesus did for you. Y'all know what he wants from you. And he's not going to sit here and beg you forever. But he is extending you the invitation. Now, if you're serious, I'm inviting you to come forward. And by coming forward, you are saying, I want to take God up on his promise of everlasting life. I'm only going to call you one time and that's it. And if you're serious, come on and taste the goodness of God. Come on. She's going to take you in the back and she'll talk with you and pray with you and talk to you more about what it means to accept Christ as your Savior. One has come, is there? There's still room for more. There's room for everybody. That's how good God is. Think about it. This eternal God wants to share his glory of heaven with you. You. And what are you? Dust. Well, tell me God ain't good. With every head bowed and every eye closed. We came to church this morning, Heavenly Father. We came to church to worship you and to be reminded of the kind of God that you are. And we were reminded of your goodness. And if we really believe that you're good, it's going to affect how we worship and how we serve. It's going to affect everything that we do. It's going to make us strong. It's going to make us able to bear trials and tribulations. Most of all, for those that don't know you, it's going to lead us to salvation, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless this young lady that came forward, Heavenly Father. The moment she believed in her heart, you forgave her of her sins and granted her everlasting life. Help her to understand that it's a wonderful thing being a child of God, no matter what she hears out here in these streets. Bless us here at Blessed Hope Bible Church. Help us to experience the goodness of God in our life. To you be praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let all of God's people say amen. Amen. One more time. One more time, repeat after me before I sit down for a moment. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Do you believe it? God bless you.